Welcome to episode 1163 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Thank you for joining us as we continue exploring how to get deeper with Jesus. John chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there.
Jerusalem! The faithful city! She that was full of justice has become a harlot!
Stop him!
Have you not heard?
Verse 15. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple, with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables.
Into a den of thieves!
Jesus is often portrayed as gentle, compassionate, merciful, and full of peace, and rightly so. He welcomed children, healed the sick, wept over the lost, and forgave those who wronged him. But Jesus also got angry, and not with petty irritations or wounded pride. His anger was righteous, a holy fire ignited by injustice, hypocrisy, and the desecration of what was meant to be sacred. In the Gospels, one of the most striking moments of Jesus' anger is his cleansing of the temple. This event appears in all four Gospel accounts, emphasizing its significance. It was not a moment of loss of control, but a deliberate, purposeful, and deeply revealing act. In the time of Jesus, the temple in Jerusalem was the central place of worship for the Jewish people. It was supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations, according to Isaiah 56, verse 7, a sacred space where people could come into the presence of God. But what Jesus found there grieved him to the core. The outer court of the temple, known as the court of the Gentiles, was meant to be a place where non-Jewish people could come and worship. Instead, it had become a noisy marketplace filled with money changers and animal sellers. Pilgrims coming to worship needed to exchange Roman currency for temple currency to pay the temple tax. Others needed to purchase animals for sacrifice, but many were being exploited through inflated exchange rates and overpriced offerings. This corruption not only exploited the poor, but pushed aside those who came seeking God. What was meant to be a space of welcome, prayer, and worship had become a space of greed and exclusion. Jesus enters the temple and, with unmistakable authority, overturns the tables of the money changers and the seats of those selling animals. He even makes a whip of cords to drive them out. This was not a moment of impulsive rage. It was a righteous protest against injustice and a defense of the marginalized. His words echo two prophetic rebukes. First, he cites Isaiah 56, verse 7.
My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations.
Then he draws on Jeremiah 7, verse 11.
You have made it a den of robbers.
Jesus is invoking the prophets to condemn the perversion of religion for profit and the exclusion of the Gentiles. Jesus' anger is rooted in love. Love for God's glory, for the sacredness of worship, and for the people who were being kept from encountering God. His confrontation is not an outburst, but a call to reform, a cry for justice, and an unveiling of God's heart. We live in a world where anger is often toxic. It leads to violence, bitterness, and division. But Jesus shows us there is such a thing as righteous anger, a holy dissatisfaction with sin, corruption, and injustice. Righteous anger is not self-centered. It is not about personal offense or wounded ego. It is other-centered and God-centered. It grieves what grieves God. It rises when the vulnerable are oppressed, when sacred things are profaned, and when truth is twisted. Jesus' anger was controlled, purposeful, and constructive. It didn't erupt into cruelty or chaos. Instead, it cleansed the temple, restored dignity, and pointed people back to true worship. The temple cleansing was not an isolated event. Jesus often confronted the religious leaders of his day with stern warnings. In Matthew 23, he pronounces a series of woes against the Pharisees and teachers of the law, calling them hypocrites, blind guides, whitewashed tombs, and a brood of vipers. Why such strong language? Because these leaders burdened others with rules they did not follow, prioritized appearances over integrity, and closed the door of the kingdom in people's faces. Jesus' anger at hypocrisy reveals his passion for authenticity. He despised religious performance that masked spiritual emptiness. He called people not to outward show, but inward transformation. What does this teach us about Jesus? Jesus cares about justice. He is not indifferent to oppression or corruption. He steps in, speaks up, and acts decisively. Jesus values the sacred. Worship is holy. Spaces where people seek God should not be polluted by greed, pride, or exclusion. Jesus defends the marginalized. His anger burns against systems that keep people out, especially the poor, the Gentiles, and the outcasts. Jesus confronts hypocrisy. He desires truth in the inner being. The external rituals of religion mean nothing without a heart turned toward God. Jesus is passionate about the Father's house. He calls the temple my Father's house, showing personal ownership and deep reverence. Let's get deep. How should we respond? If we want to follow Jesus deeply, we must allow his righteous anger to inform our discipleship. This does not mean becoming combative or self-righteous. It means cultivating a holy sensitivity to what dishonors God and harms people. Examine your own temple. Ask, what in my life, my heart, or my community needs to be overturned? Have I allowed convenience, complacency, or compromise to clutter the space meant for prayer? Speak up for the oppressed. Righteous anger should lead to righteous action. Are there modern-day money changers exploiting others in the name of religion or profit? Are we willing to challenge injustice in love? Protect the sacred. Whether it's worship, community, or the dignity of others, we are called to preserve what is holy and healing. Resist hypocrisy. Let our faith be real. Let our public lives reflect private devotion. Let our religion be more than ritual. Let it be grounded in a true, meaningful, authentic relationship with Christ. Be slow to anger, but not afraid of it. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, reminds us to be slow to anger, for human anger does not produce God's righteousness. But there are times when, like Jesus, we must let our hearts burn for justice and truth, and then act. Jesus' cleansing of the temple is a mirror and a call. It reveals what he values and what he confronts. It challenges us to examine our worship, our systems, and our hearts. We all have temples in need of cleansing, places where clutter has replaced communion, spaces where greed or pride has crept in. But the good news is this. Jesus comes not to condemn, but to cleanse. Not to destroy, but to restore. His righteous anger is not against us, but for us. To make space again for prayer, for grace, for the presence of God. So let him overturn what needs overturning. Let him drive out what does not belong. Let him fill your temple with light, truth, and holy love. Because the same Jesus who overturned tables also laid down his life. The fire in his eyes was matched by the mercy in his hands, and even his anger was fueled by the love that went all the way to the cross. Let us worship him, follow him, and reflect him with hearts that burn for what is right, and lives surrendered to the one who is both lion and lamb. Father, thank you for a Savior who is not indifferent to injustice, who does not tolerate hypocrisy, and who defends what is holy. Search each heart listening today, and cleanse each individual temple. Remove anything that dishonors you or harms others. Teach us to be bold for what is right, humble in our repentance, and steadfast in our worship. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today,